I don't project.
You don't project.
I'm sorry, I have a
your
low voice.
Your voice operates at such a low. Yeah. It's not the volume. It's that it's almost impossible for my ears to hear it.
Yeah.
It's so deep.
It's so sexy.
It is so sexy.
I get it.
Welcome back to Enjoy the Podcast. I have ice in my mouth, so if I sound like I had a lisp, I did not.
I have a mouthful of spit.
it's just saliva.
It's petty.
It is petty. We are your hosts. I'm Jared Brady. This is Lovely Los. We got JD's Gyms in the house. We and we got a special... special guest in the building.
Lauren.
Gosh, how you doing, guys?
Another Lauren. We like Lauren around here.
Lauren White.
We like Lauren's.
Yeah.
Lauren's do well on this show.
Who else?
We had a Lauren
sister.
Yeah. Sister on. Yeah.
We have actually the same first and middle name. My name is also Lauren Elizabeth.
Whoa.
Can you imagine?
Whoa. So you're going to do great.
Yeah.
I mean, you're already, doing great.
Potentially blow it away today. That's my goal.
So, you know, what's so amazing, I actually popped into a live that you were doing, I think it was last week. When was it? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
And you guys were talking about threesomes.
Yep.
And I was like, this is interesting. I wonder if she would be down to come on Enjoy. And so I messaged you and you were down and we're super hyped about it. You are a, because I know the audience is probably like,
who is this person?
You are a sexual confidence coach.
Yeah, I do sexual confidence and personal power coaching.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you know I'm going to love this episode.
Yeah.
So today we're talking about sex.
Yep.
We're talking about threesomes.
Okay.
Ooh. We're talking about... fake orgasms.
Okay. Mm.
I want to talk about some ED.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's actually perfect timing because I'm currently getting my holistic sex educator license certification.
Whoa.
And the past 3 weeks have been focused on what happens when sex goes wrong with cisgender dudes, just basically dudes who are born with dicks who identify as men.
What do you identify with sexually? Or is it sexually?
Yeah. So I'm pretty straight. Like, also, what am I allowed to say on here? Like, can I be?
Listen, say whatever.
Okay. Everything.
So I've eaten a lot of pussy.
Yeah.
But I identify as straight. Like, okay. I do not pursue women.
Yeah.
If it happens in a group sex situation, then cool. But for me, I feel like it's not fair to identify as bi because I don't identify with the struggle of like, I have this tension inside of me.
Yeah,
I felt
like
I needed to come out in some way. It's very much like I mainly like dick if there's
pussy
there.
If you had a choice.
I'm cool. Yeah. Like, I'll hang out with
too?
It.
What? Okay, yeah, I have some fries.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
so, it's so...
I can do pussy.
Yeah, I can do that. It's a talent.
It's so awesome that you say that because I don't think a lot of people give the sexual fluidity enough grace like that. And, you know, I read a study that was like everybody's on the spectrum at some point.
100%.
I think it's 1 through 5.
Yeah.
And so like 0 being like, I'm definitely not ever touching a dick in my life.
Right.
Or, you know, 5 being like, I'm only touching dicks in my life.
Yeah.
So, but I think we're all, you know, a little bit on that spectrum somewhere. Yeah. I think most men wouldn't admit where they are on that spectrum.
Yes. And so that's what the class that I was just in is about, is it was a man who works almost exclusively with straight men, and they talk about when sex goes wrong. So it's like ED, it's pelvic floor issues, it's anxiety around sex, it's what if I can't come? Like, it takes me forever to come and I can't come. And what he was saying is that so many straight men, and they really do identify as straight, but they've had some kind of an interaction with another dude. Like when they were boys, they had circle jerks, or like they had a time with like one of their friends.
Why are you laughing, bro?
This is like circle jerks.
Why are you laughing, bro?
It's a funny thing. It's funny. Okay?
We're trying to have a serious conversation.
I'm sorry. Circle jerks is a funny thing. It's a funny word. And it's a funny band.
They're
a band
idea,
too, I think. But yes, it's a funny idea. I'm sorry that the middle schooler in me snickered. I'm sorry.
It's the snicker for me.
Did you just have like an image of like a bunch of dudes masturbating?
Yes, because
in a circle.
And then don't you know how this works? Apparently, the last one to come has to eat the cookie.
Oh.
Whoa.
I didn't know that.
Yes,
I didn't
that's
know
how that works.
Those are the, that's the game rules.
It's apparently the
so
game rules.
So there's a
rules.
Cookie in the center?
Cookie or a cracker, and the last one to come eats it.
Wait, does everybody come on the cookie?
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't done this. I just know a lot of things. I go down a lot of dark, you know, rabbit holes on the internet. I go down rabbit holes on it. I'm like, what's this? Oh, what's this? What's that's goatsy. Oh God.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. I mean, I think that sounds interesting. The thing about sex, I think, is that it's. One of the terms that they used is we identify and we're pretty obsessed with labels. Like we're a label heavy society, you know? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that he said that I identified with and I loved and I want to offer it is just like, I'm Lauren sexual.
Yeah.
Like I'm Lauren sexual, which means I don't know. He also was saying like the older we get, the more you're expected to be like, you know, are you straight? Are you bi? Like you think you grow into understanding and defining your sexuality when really the opposite happens.
Yeah.
The older you get, the more vast your experiences can be.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I love it.
That's
I
so
love
that's
that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I follow you on Instagram. If you guys do not follow her, you definitely should. She has an amazing Instagram. But I noticed that it's very.
What's her Instagram?
Oh, my Instagram is SheWolf Lauren. Ow, ow, ow.
Ow.
SheWolf Lauren.
Lois is going to follow
Lois,
right now.
Lois, hit me up. Slide my DMs, Lois. What the hell?
What are you doing, bro? Taking too long.
The thing is only goes so fast.
It's good.
But the thing about your Instagram is like, I noticed that you're very sexually liberated.
Mm.
And I think we just had some gentlemen on last week who were...
They would not align with your.
They would not align with it. They're very. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Have you ever had an issue finding people to date or potentials to date?
It's a good question.
Yeah. Because of your sexual liberation.
So I'm going to answer this in as quick a time frame as I possibly can.
Oh, no, take your time.
Take your time.
So before my last relationship, I. Felt like a totally different woman. I used to joke around with my friends and be like, yo, everybody wants to marry me. Like, everybody wants to marry me. I had, like, super long hair. I was a college professor, young chick, curious but not super experienced, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it kind of a perfect wife situation.
Yeah.
then I go into a relationship.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, my freak flag comes out. We're in an open relationship. We're doing sex parties. We're, like, having
hey,
doing
open
the
relationship.
Thing.
Boom, boom, boom. I feel seen.
Yeah,
better
for
hope
sure.
That's the right one.
And,
it was. I know my codes.
That's right.
I know my codes. Oh, we have buttons.
Yeah, no buttons.
Yeah.
You can't hear
it.
You
can't hear it. Usually we have headphones, but...
And there's still no labels, so...
Okay, well, this is great.
I know what I'm doing.
JD
so if it's crickets, it's okay. If it's crickets, we'll survive it.
I'll just do it in post, so I'm never wrong.
Just crickets.
Yeah. You're in a relationship.
Yeah, so then we broke up. Still love him. Shout out, Jay. You know who you are. But he's awesome. Anyway, I came out of the relationship, and I was a freak. I had a shaved head, and all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, I'm a sexual confidence coach. Like, so I no longer have a normal profession.
Yeah.
I'm like... you know, curious and inquisitive, and that can be very intimidating for people. And so what it has been for me is just, does every man in San Diego want to date me? No. Do I want to date every boring ass white dude in San Diego? No. So it's good because it kind of like takes the fluff off. I don't have the opportunity during a date to be like, kind of shy around it because it's like, yo, no, my ass is on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I talk about sex for a living.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a special person.
Yeah.
Not even special, just somebody who's very confident.
It's a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's a lot of confidence.
And it's so cool. When you were in the open relationship, did he initiate it or did you initiate it?
I had been in one relationship prior that was open-ish. Like, it was open gone wrong. It was like I was too young. We didn't really understand what we wanted, but I knew and I've always known in my heart that I just probably am not going to be, like, societally the standard for really anything.
Yeah.
So relationships, same thing. I just can't imagine being like, this is... this forever. Like, open to me means I need to be open to the conversation about anything.
Yeah.
I want to talk to my man about anything. Like, you want to do some weird shit?
Yeah.
You want to shit on my face? Like, I don't know. Tell me. I'm not saying I'm gonna do it. I'm just saying I want to know.
Yeah.
Like, tell me what you masturbate about. Yeah. I'm curious.
Yeah.
So he brought it up and was very experienced in the swinger space. He had never been in a relationship that was open, though. So it was both of our first time. A lot went right. A lot went not right.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, not right. My boundaries were crossed in weird ways. And it was totally life changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because for him, I was curious about it, but I don't think I would have pulled the trigger. I wouldn't have been like, hey, I signed us up for a swinger website and also we're going to a sex party in Palm Springs. That wouldn't have been me.
Yeah.
I would have just been like, I'm open to it. And he was like, hey, Let's put us on a swinger website and we're going to Palm Springs to a sex party. And so it was very cool. Lose. You have something to say?
Oh. No. I'm good. I was trying to put my arm down. Apparently, my phone was unlocked.
You got those real nervous phone. Right now. Like,
no, I'm good. Baby.
I feel like I've been dominating.
No, I was just going to ask a question about what were some of your takeaways from, you said it was open but gone wrong. But you kind of answered it with the swinger part in Palm Springs or anything. But anything else, maybe in case someone is thinking, like, I'm maybe open to it.
Yep.
Here's a better question, Lauren.
Okay.
If someone is thinking, I may be open to it, mm-hmm. but I don't really know how to communicate that with my partner because we've been so, you know, this is the way as we talked about before, but now I'm starting to think, what are some of the ways you could, you know, not advise, but suggest? Yeah.
So what I suggest, and this is something I talk a lot with my clients about too, is because people, it's like almost a debilitating conversation internally first, right? And so it's like I encourage people to write down what they're wanting and why they're wanting it. Like, have the conversation with you first. Okay, are you wanting to have an open relationship because you feel unfulfilled in your sex life? Or are you wanting to have an open relationship because you feel curious and you genuinely want to expand your sexual horizon? That will tell you a lot right there.
Yeah.
And then from that point, you can write down the things you'd like to experience. Like, hey, okay, I've been in this relationship for 10 years. I love my wife. I love my husband. But I also really want to know what it's like to hook up with a woman or to have a threesome or to, like, have sex and have people watch us or to watch people have sex. You know, there's such an array. So writing down exactly what you want and or what you think you might want, and then you can better communicate it to your partner. There is no way for me to promise the conversation will be easy.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The conversation may not be easy, but I believe in living in truth. If that's your truth, if you sit with it, if you see it in your journal or wherever you wrote it down and you're like, yes, this is my truth, then you, in my opinion, have no other choice than to tell your partner in some way.
Yeah.
I love everything you just said.
Use your voice.
Use your voice.
Yeah, there was something that you said to prior where you said, if you want an open relationship, is it just that you're not satisfied in your own relationship that you want to experience somebody else? And that's such an important question to ask yourself, because I think people who get into open relationships, it's very important that the root is very strong.
Yeah.
Could not be more important.
I think a lot of people, they think of open relationships as like, you only want to do this because you're not satisfied in your own relationship. No, I only want to do this because I'm so satisfied in my relationship.
Right. And I'm so secure.
Yeah, and so I think that's very important and great advice, especially for anybody who's thinking about it.
Yeah.
Right now, for real quick, we got to take a little...
it's the boy band time,
We got to take a little...
Get your logo ready, Les.
We got to take a second to shout out the sponsor of this video. It actually isn't Manscaped yet, but it's going to be Blue Chew. So go check them out. Los and I have some things to say to you.
Yeah, Blue Chew.
You got your mic way over there, bro.
Yeah, Blue Chew. Thanks, Blue Chew.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Oh, man, it's been a hell of a year. I feel like I've aged 12 years in the last 12 months. And if you're anything like me, or if your man is like me, he's probably feeling his age, especially in the bedroom, if you know what I'm talking about. But it's time to snap out of it. Spring is here. It's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra or Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. So you're not gonna get a fraction of the erection.
Blue Chew's tablets are designed to combat all forms of ED. That way men can achieve longer, harder, stronger erections. And that's what we all want, right? The great thing about Blue Chew is that it's an online-based service, right? So there's no awkward visits to the doctor's office, no standing in line at the pharmacy, no waiting around and having to do all, none of that. None of it. It's gone. Poof. magic, disappear. Bluetooth just got rid of it. You go online, you answer some questions, they take care of the rest. They ship it right to your door in a discreet little box. Nobody knows, no wasting time, no going out, none of that. Just you and your Blue Chew.
The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical provider will get you the right ingredients and the right strength for your prescription.
Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil pills are, well, 100% chewable, hence the name Blue Chew. So that was a really poor excuse if you actually thought so. Blue Chew. So if you suffer from ED, or if you can just use a little, you know, extra confidence in the bedroom, check out BlueChew.com. Type in the promo code. That's right, we have a promo code for you. You get a discount.
Yes, we got a special offer for our audience, or maybe our audience's boyfriend, or maybe our audience's husband. Maybe he's stressed out. Maybe he got a lot on his mind. There's a lot of stuff going on, but it doesn't matter because you can try Blue Chew for free. All you got to do is use the promo code ENJOY at checkout. All you got to do is pay for $5 shipping. That's it. Just use the promo code ENJOY. Again, that's BlueChew.com. And use the promo code ENJOY. And I just want to thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Our very first sponsor on the podcast. Go check out Blue Chew. Don't let them regret it.
So I'm just trying to think of like, what is the session? Is it a session? Is that the right word? What does it look like? Is it virtual? Is it in person? What do you see that people want more? I mean, the in-person might be tough if they haven't written that letter to themselves first. Right. It's kind of like, surprise, I'm thinking about this. You know what I mean? Oh, were you aware of this? Not at all. You know? So what's been some of your experiences as far as people actually coming forth and saying, you know what, this is something I really would like to do. Lauren, can you help us, et cetera?
So I haven't done a lot of couples coaching, actually. Usually it's one of the people in the relationship. And I'd say that my clients range from like 24-year-old men to 50-year-old women who are at some stage of their sexual journey.
Sure.
And so what I see a lot is people who are wanting to initiate more, people who feel like they're in kind of like a toxic space with their relationship. And then we usually find out that it has more to do with like their internal dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do a lot of work with the personal power piece because I find it really difficult. People come to me thinking they need to talk about sex. It's almost never that they need to talk about sex. Usually it's that they need to own their power and learn how to speak their truth so that they can determine like what they want.
Yeah.
Because it'll be like, oh, I have this internal tension. And it's like, okay, when was the last time that you sat with yourself and just like touched yourself, but like in an intentional way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Wow.
Where it's, and then they take that into the relationship. Mm-hmm. Right. And so then they'll talk to their husband or they'll talk to their wife or their spouse and come back to me the next session and say, okay, this is the conversation we had. I'm like, perfect. Okay, this is fantastic. I'm crying all the time with my clients. I'm like, this is so good.
No, sure. So you're helping, but you know you're helping. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful.
You said something that was really interesting about touching yourself with intention.
Yeah.
And I find that, do you find a lot of people feel guilty for touching themselves?
What is touching yourself with intention?
That's a good question.
Turning yourself on with your hands.
Yeah.
No, but I think it maybe is it deeper than just because.
So this is an important question, and I think especially for dudes.
You want him to talk more? Yeah, it's a great question. What do you mean, bro?
Touching yourself with your hands.
That's exactly right. No,
Jared's in timeout. Go ahead.
Stop talking, Jared.
That is a good question, and I just learned about this, and it reified my definition of it for me. So. Touching yourself with intention is, we have this idea, especially for men, right? That you basically masturbate the same way your whole life. Like since you're 12 or 13, you like jack off with your hand watching porn to come. Yeah. Like that's the whole point.
Yep.
Touching yourself with intention is realizing that your whole body is sex. It's not just about your dick. And so it's like your whole body is a pleasure center. So it's recognizing and learning about yourself and thinking about different erotic things, thinking about ways that you can turn yourself on without just like beating your dick to a pulp.
Yep.
Until you come. Like, if that's the only way that you're masturbating is just to come watching porn, there is no connection between your energy and your body.
Yeah.
So, like, with intention means connecting your energy to your body, and you'll never have a more powerful orgasm in your life.
How can you, I mean, for men, how can we tap into that?
The easiest way to do it is to start noticing your own breath.
Wow.
So it's literally sitting here, sitting wherever you are, and just noticing, like taking an intentional breath and being like, damn, like I just brought oxygen to my whole body. Like one inhale, one exhale, and it's almost the like presence.
A meditative
it is.
State.
It is meditative. And wow. But I hold back from using the term meditation because it's like the words holistic or granola. Like there's a very
woo-woo.
I'm down to be woo-woo. But it's also, I think, important to recognize that, yo, it's just your fucking breath. Yeah. Like you cannot live without it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, we don't have to label it as like Tibetan Buddhist meditation on a rock naked.
Yeah.
But it is kind of that. Like is kind of
it can
breathing.
Be. Yeah,
it can be.
Yeah.
And so.
Is it kind of like Tantra?
It can be like Tantra. But it doesn't even have to be that deep.
Yeah.
Like Tantra is a very, it's a beautiful practice, and I actually am learning more about it. I haven't learned that much about Tantra or Tantra. Like it hasn't been my main focus.
Yeah.
But it is that. It's tapping into the breath and into the energy and opening your chakras.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be that intense. It can just be like when you're masturbating, focus on your breath and like send it down to your dick. Like breathe into your dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so that's so important.
Breathe into your dick. That's put that on a t-shirt. We're just gonna let that slide. We're just gonna graze over that.
Yo,
just
breathe into your dick.
Process that. Well,
hold on a second.
It's a whole gym.
I don't masturbate with that type of intention for me. Like,
yeah,
like I've said before, like
that.
Masturbation for me is like almost in a way like get yesterday out of me. All right, let's get to the day.
Right.
Right. So like I just like get that nut out of me, and I'm not trying to be there long. Like I'm trying to get this done quick.
Get in, get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't. Man, like, for me, I've never really thought that's masturbation for me is like the diet orgasm. Like, I know eventually I'm gonna have like actual sex and I'll get a real orgasm. That, like,
that's
this
a good is
just
phrase.
Get this out the way.
That's
like,
a
yeah,
great
like
phrase.
Let me just get this out the way
get
so
out
I'm
the
not
way.
Like
yeah.
stupid all day. Like,
yeah,
I came today, I can get a little stupidity out of me. Yeah. I'm focused.
You came
now.
To
all
your
right,
senses.
Cool.
Yeah,
it is exactly. So, like,
it's your juice,
yeah,
it's your juice cleanse.
That's an interesting like theory to me to think. Like,
are you gonna try it tonight?
No, I'm not. I'm gonna be honest.
Why not?
I don't masturbate at night.
When do you do it in the morning? Right when you wake up?
No, I do it
what do you
before
have
I take
against,
my shower.
What do you have against going tonight?
A lot of dudes don't feel sexual energy at night. What?
Unless it's with a woman, yeah. Like, I'm not, like...
Huh. When I was really single, I was hitting it at night.
No, like, you know what's interesting? When I was younger, I definitely, like, nighttime was like...
Yeah, like, I had to do it
like,
to go to sleep.
Like, oh, yeah. I'm going to get the good one. Then. Like,
I'm about to knock out after this.
I might make a little foo-foo or whatever, fee-fee, whatever it's called. I might make one of those real quick. Hold on, we going in. Like, but no, the older I got, the less and less I... Nighttime is like, I'm usually working. If I'm not working, then I'm, you know... I'm smoking and going
tired.
To sleep, man. Yeah, I'm tired. Like,
what do you think?
Yeah. Respect. Yeah.
I've had the day done.
Jared, you asked about shame.
So, yeah, I kind of want to dive more into the shame aspect of it and, like, how do you get somebody out of that shame? I know me growing up in the church, you know, every time I masturbated, it...
Felt like there was a little piece of you that died every time, huh?
Yes.
I know, because I was in the church at one point, too, so I didn't touch myself.
And you felt...
Yeah,
I thought you were
going
somewhere
else.
You're like, here we go.
Jesus is, like, looking over your shoulder. Yes. You're sitting there, like, Jesus and your grandparents are like, gosh.
Yes.
Look what he's doing. Look what he's doing again.
Yeah.
The third time this day.
And, like, the titles I was probably looking up at that age...
Oh, man.
They're probably like real disappointed.
Yeah, at least you had the internet.
You said
man.
MILF, right?
Huh?
It was MILF,
but there was a lot of other stuff.
Hey,
at least you had the internet. At least you had that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's right.
Some of us had to make a book of smut.
A what?
Wow. A what?
Not me.
What's smut?
That's what they called it. Oh, no. Was it? It was my big. It was
before.
My big book of smut, is what he called it.
So you created a.
Not I.
Pamphlet.
Not I.
Who?
Some
There's a lot of things that loves to share that is not him.
Well, yeah. Who did
it's
this?
Not the circle jerk. It's not the
certain cousin.
Coloring
of mine.
Book. Whoa.
My mom
one
caught
summer,
me.
He printed out a book of porn.
Oh my god!
And our grandmother found.
My mom found a Playboy that I had.
Oh man, no! Like he had a 3-ring binder that he like hole punched the shit and everything.
Oh,
he had,
it was
like,
nice.
He had like printouts.
Wow, oh, this is
like,
wow.
It's like 95, 96. Like you couldn't just like log on whenever you wanted. So he, you know, he was like, I'm stuck at. We used to go to our grandmother's house for a couple weeks every year, and so he, you know, he went in there and got his shit together. And then she found it. And then I get there like a week later and she's all mean to me and I didn't even do anything. I'm like,
this is a good point though. And this is, I have a question back at y'all because I think this will round out something. So when you were found out, when people found what you were looking at, what happened?
Oh, my mom was pissed.
Okay, she was pissed.
Yeah, my mom was pissed. But my shame was more centered with the church.
Yeah.
And also like, I remember the time like, I had a girlfriend in like ninth grade and, you know, I was holding her hand and my dad was coming to pick me up and he saw me holding her hand and he tore me up. And in my dad's mind, relationships meant you're having a baby.
Right. Oh,
because he had me in high school.
Okay.
So he was like very against relationships, very against that. So he saw me holding hands with this girl and he like fear-based laid into me. And even to this day, I have to fight through that because the trauma from that has made it hard for me to do PDA.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's where shame starts. That's how deep-rooted it is like when, and I encourage people who are parents to really think about that.
Yeah.
Like, how do you want your kid to feel about their body? How do you want your kids to feel about their sexuality? Because if we look back at it, it's like, damn, that's so natural for us to be curious about, like, naked bodies and our bodies are changing and to, like, see sex in this interesting way. And then it's just immediately shamed and you feel gross, you feel disgusting, you feel like you're doing something super wrong, but you want to keep doing it, right? So it's like this cognitive dissonance and this inner dissonance between what you feel is right and what your body's telling you is just cool.
Yeah.
Like it feels good.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So shame starts there. And so when I'm working with people, I just remind them your body, like even if you are like really believe in God still to this day. Like if you are a religious based, if that's what you want, cool. God created your whole body, which means he created the clit. He created the tip of your dick, which means you are programmed for pleasure.
Yeah.
So when we talk about it like that and you think about the sensations that your body's able to have, it actually is kind of religious. It's godly. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
So when we talk about shame, it's a lot of coming back into your own body.
Yeah.
And realizing, like, there is nothing inherently wrong with desiring pleasure. There's actually so much right with it. we need it. We need that release. That orgasm release?
Yeah.
Hello? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It feels fantastic.
Yeah.
For most people. Some people, it's not. But for a lot of people, it's great.
Damn. Poor thing. Orgasm doesn't feel good to you.
Rough. Some people, it's, I just learned about this. I'm so glad I can talk about it. But some people do experience, it's like a, it's a when sex goes wrong kind of thing. And it's called like post-orgasm
trauma?
Something. Oh. And it like, it makes you actually feel sick. Like you have the flu or something.
Whoa.
Like
Whoa.
It takes so much energy out of you that it could be like detrimental.
Wow.
It's a real clinical condition. It's fascinating. Thanks. It's like 1 in 600 people has it.
Are you born with it or?
No, I think it develops and then sometimes it can just go away.
What's going on, everybody? I got to give another shout out to the second sponsor of this video, Manscaped. Manscaped is the best below the waist male groomers in the business, in the world. Listen, Manscaped provides precision engineered tools for the family jewels. You know, you got to keep them nice and right and tight. Also, Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. Yes, you heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. Keep it right and nice and tight down there. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Anyways, join over 2 million men who trust Manscaped, or you can get your man to join in. You know you like it nice down there. Don't play. Or give your gift. Give the gift that keeps on giving. You know what I mean? Also, I got a special offer for you guys. Get 20% off. All you got to do is enter the promo code ENJOY at manscaped.com. And to all the men out there, imagine shaving with a nice, sleek, beautiful trimmer. It's gonna make shaving time your favorite time. And I'm one of the first people to try this Lawnmower 4.0, and I'm blown away by the precision, by the look, by the craftsmanship. I mean, it really keeps it nice down there, if you know what I'm talking about. And let me tell you the difference, because I've tried other shavers, and I definitely nicked myself. It wasn't a pleasant experience, and I have not nicked myself with the Lawnmower 4.0. I'm telling you, it's a nice, smooth shave that you are comfortable to use down there, because you know you got to protect them. Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredible, comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skincare technology. I now feel comfortable shaving down there. This upgraded trimmer includes a multi-function on-off switch that can engage a travel lock. It also gives you the ability to turn the 4000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precision shave. The Lawnmower 4.0 even allows you to custom your trim through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. Did I mention wireless charging? The new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. Men, if you've been using the same trimmer that you use on your nuts, you're doing it wrong. Nobody wants pubes in their mouth. It's time to get you your own ball hair and body trimmer by Manscaped so you can make me time the best time. Get 20% off right now at Manscaped. All you got to do is enter the promo code ENJOY at manscaped.com. And thank you to Manscaped for sponsoring the podcast. We appreciate it. Now go trim your balls. Or get your man to trim his balls. ED is such a common thing, and the response to ED can heavily combat it. Because I know from the man's perspective, I definitely, when I was younger, equated a woman's wetness to how attracted she was to me.
Right.
And I'm sure vice versa. Like, there's been times where I couldn't get it up, and she equated.
Oh, you don't find me attractive?
The desirability to that. And the response that she would give would almost make it worse. You know, a lot of times it's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Did you drink too much?
Right.
And so that didn't get me more in the mood. Yeah. Like,
what are you thinking about?
Yeah. So have you ever experienced ED, not even personally, but with somebody else? And what would you tell somebody how they should react to that? Because I think that's the biggest key.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And something else that is so important to for me to just tell any dude who's watching right now is, like, this shit happens to almost everybody, and guys don't want to talk about it as much because they equate how hard their dick is to their masculinity. So it's like, oh, I fucked her so hard.
Yeah.
You're not going to be like, yeah, bro, I was like fucking, and then like my dick shriveled back up inside me, you know, like, and then like,
it was at that moment.
Yeah. <He realized. laughs> It was at that moment I was no longer a man. Like, it's,
well, I mean
you'd be surprised actually how many times like guys have said
they'll talk about it. That makes me happy.
But
that
we
makes
talk
me
about it
talk
in
about
a,
it.
But the it's only usually thing is in a way where we blame it on liquor or something.
Yeah,
like that.
We talk about it in a way that's like, I don't know.
Yes. Yes. And the thing is that it's so normal. It really does happen to so many guys. But overarching, my message is going to be this. To the dudes, and then I'll address the people who are responding to it, is your dick is not your only sex organ. So, like, if you're so hyper-focused on your dick, it puts so much pressure on that dude. Like, it's so much pressure on him. So if you're experiencing that struggle, focus more on your overarching pleasure. Like, are you having fun?
Yeah.
This happened actually the other day. I was hooking up with a dude. He was kind of nervous, and not outwardly nervous. He wasn't like shaking or anything, but he's like, yeah, sometimes I just get, you know, stage fright a little bit. I'm like, don't even worry about your dick.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even, not that I don't love dick.
Yeah.
I love your dick, but don't worry about it.
I don't need
like, let's just play. Let's do some other fun shit. Like, let's, like, why don't you watch me masturbate?
Yeah.
Or like, help me with that. Or like, let's make out and like put coconut oil on our bodies and like do weird shit. It's like, make it fun.
Yeah.
Because when you're focused exclusively on like how hard can I fuck, how mm-hmm. long can I penetrate, how long does it take me to come, mm-hmm. it's focused, it's just so singularly focused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it isn't a marker of your masculinity and it isn't a marker of how much of a man you are. With that being said, people who are responding to people who are having issues, whether you're gay, straight, whatever, mm-hmm. Jared sexual, JD sexual.
Mm. Hey.
Low sexual.
I was just doing crickets.
No.
I was good just chilling. We don't need a low sexual. We got a Jared and JD sexual. We're good. We're all right.
Oh, you feel lonely, Los, bro?
We're all right. I'm cool.
It's because your masculinity is so strong.
It's so strong.
It's the voice. It's the voice.
That's right. That's right. Just oozing it.
Oh, my God. So funny. So sorry, Los.
No, you're fine.
Okay, so whatever kind of sexual you are, really what someone needs in that moment is just comfort. So I encourage you to think about, like, you don't need to be like, oh, it's going to be okay. But just literally the words, like, I'm not super focused on your dick. Like, let's make out. Watch. This is how I come. And, like, try something new.
Yeah.
Because most often, I'm sorry to say, but, like, even if you're a two and a dude wants to fuck, like, he's going to be able to get hard at some point.
No,
like,
it's not equated.
It's not you. No. It really isn't. Because dudes want to have sex.
Yeah.
Like, and so if it's a constant problem in a relationship, there are so many things that you can do. It's a medical thing sometimes too. Like you can go get your confidence back by, they have injections now. They have like all different kinds of stuff you can do. So if you're struggling with this in a long-term setting, I would go see a doctor and then learn how to breathe.
Yeah.
And try some tantra.
Mm. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's so interesting because I definitely was one of those guys who equated my entire sexuality to my dick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I find that the response that was the most comforting was like, don't worry about it, you know, let's just hang out and like stay in this moment and do other things. And I eventually got it up in that moment. And also too, it's like, I remember thinking to myself, as men, it's not like an arm where you can move it and you don't have any control in it. So the response of the other person is acting like I have control. I don't. It's like my liver. I remember being in like, you know, growing up, we used to get boners for no reason.
Right. You're not just sitting there like, oh, and then it gets hard. It's not like you're taking a shit.
There's no control. Like it's literally an out of body experience when it happens. So I think a lot of times we take it on like it was our fault when it's like, no, we had no control over the erection in the first place.
Right.
It just happened. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think the response that you were saying is take it slow, try something else, do other things. You know, I find that slow, sensual movement, massages, those all kind of come, you know, relax the anxiety. It only happened twice in my life.
Hey, same here.
Really?
Twice.
The first time I went back and tried to hook up with an ex. Your body was like,
nope. That was an out of body experience.
What happened to you once, really?
It was a very toxic situation. Yeah. This ex, like, you good know, job, was like a very emotional breakup.
Yeah.
So when I went back, I was really excited and wanted to try to work it out. And my dick was like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah, son. Player.
And then the second time it happened, you know, I'm oversharing right now, but the second time it happened was Shan had just gotten pregnant and she had just started to show and we went to have sex and I just could not get up. And I was just like, I had this weird feeling of like my daughter's in the room, even though she was like a tiny little embryo.
Yeah.
But like in my head, like I was just like, this feels so strange to me.
That makes sense.
I can relate to you. You're not going to be on the hill alone.
Okay, cool. Because I know the pregnancy, everything, it's very sensitive. So it had nothing to do with Shan.
No.
It had nothing to do with the desirability. I really wanted to have sex.
Yeah.
But the issue was that like every time like we would get into it, I would like look at the baby bump and just be like, This is hard for me to get into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But eventually I got over it. But I remember the first couple times it was like really tough for me to get into it. But she reacts to it amazingly, and we were able to work through it.
Shambooty.
Yeah. She definitely helped me out through that situation. And yeah, and so those are two times. What about you guys?
I was gonna say, I have a question, and this may be just a dumb question, but do women suffer from ED?
Yeah. So okay. There's a book called Come As You Are that is so good about this, and it's essentially saying, I'm gonna go down a little rabbit hole right here. It's essentially saying that the way your body physically responds to sexual stimulus does not equal your level of arousal. I'll take this to even a deeper place real quick. Mm-hmm. When people experience some kind of a sexual assault, they will still get hard sometimes. They will still get wet sometimes. They do not want to be experiencing that, but arousal and your body's response are not equal. It does not mean the same thing. So,
that's so interesting.
Sometimes, like, if you're super horny, for example, like, I've been super horny before, super stoked to hook up with somebody, and, like, I'm a pretty juicy person, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm cool in this spot. Hey!
Talk your shit.
No. That was a bomb.
That was a bomb.
Okay. That was a bomb.
Yeah, so, like, it's good. I usually don't deal with that, but sometimes, like, your pH is different, you just got off your period. Like, your body just isn't responding in the way you want it to. So it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And especially for women, it can be one of those things like how wet you are. Mm-hmm. You feel that your mind changes your body and your body changes your mind. So in the sense, if I'm not wet, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, maybe I'm not super turned on by this guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm not. But just remember, arousal and your physical response do not always equal the same thing. Mm. Sometimes they do. Wow. Sometimes they don't.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Great explanation. I feel like I'm in class. This is great. This is great.
I'm so just glad.
Really appreciate all the knowledge. I can only imagine the audience, or maybe this was not new to you. But
we're all here,
like, whoa, wait, what?
So, I actually want to dive into threesomes.
So a disappointing chapter, if I can say so.
You didn't have fun in your threesome?
Terrible.
Tell us about it.
Boring. It was just.
I want to hit the womp. I don't know what it is.
Hit the womp womp, Jared.
Big I don't know. I'm a loss,
well,
too.
It'll be worth it. Luck of the draw.
Stand by.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it. That's not it.
You hit the wrong one.
No.
I think it's that one. Yeah. Oh, shit.
There we go.
You hit the
gave me all of them.
So we give him symbols.
No. So. I had been told there would be a threesome.
Okay.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
With a partner or with two?
It was with.
I was told there'd be a threesome here. Am I in the right room? 7 o'clock. He's at third floor. I was told there'd be a.
Best intro of all.
Oh, help us out here, man.
Just start with that.
Context.
Just start with that.
Chapter one. I was told there'd be a threesome.
Yeah.
She promised me a threesome. She being one of the young women at the time who I was sleeping with. And at the time it happened, it started off great, right? It was a tandem blowjob. Everything was going good. One had the balls, one had the shaft. I was like, yeah, here we go. We're in gear now. And then came time for the sex. And then one of them, the one that she brought, she was like, oh, no, I'm not having sex. I'm just watching this part. And I was a little disappointed. I was like, you said we were all, you know. So it wasn't, I felt like I had like half a threesome. So I'm laughing. Yeah. So I was crying. So, yeah, I always felt like, you know, it was like, we started off a threesome, but then, you know, the third like person dropped off and like just kind of watching the sidelines. So
2.5.
Was she touching herself while she was watching, or no, she was just staring at you?
She was just sitting there watching.
Interesting.
If she was touching herself, I would have felt
a little bit more comfortable.
Like, okay, you're a part of this now. Like, you're getting something from this. Yeah. Right. No, she's just kind of like sitting there on her phone.
On her phone?
Damn. Yeah, no, like she checked out. She checked out.
She was on this.
Yeah,
okay.
No, she checked out. Like she was like, damn. She was like,
well, that makes sense. That sounds like a very awkward experience.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound great.
That's your only experience?
Wasn't good. Yeah, that was it.
Oh, that was your only one.
That was the only one.
Okay, we got this.
Nobody else wants to share me.
Wow.
I don't think that's true. I could think of a few people that comment regularly about you that would be probably down to do a threesome with you.
Whoa.
I don't know.
You could think of a few.
I was talking about the audience.
They'll let you know.
Yeah,
let me know.
If DM Los. Wants to have a threesome with Los.
DM. Yeah.
Don't DM Enjoy the Podcast Official. DM Los.
I always think DM is in there like, hey, Los.
I'm like, what the hell?
Hey, it's all three of us here. It's not just Los.
This is not Los.
Hey, you know, you guys speak for me sometimes.
I got an email from somebody about you.
Jesus Christ.
Sick of your shit.
I didn't do it.
Tell your hive to talk to you.
Los is a captivating guy.
Yes, yeah, he is.
Look at him.
Yes, he's very captivating.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, he is. Do you know his nickname?
No.
Oh, shit.
Is it Captivation Station?
Maybe now it is.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Maybe now it is.
Wow.
Captivation Station.
Oh, wow. It's Lovely Los. But
I didn't know that.
Yours might be better, though.
And yours is Gems.
JD Gems.
JD Gems.
Woo! Captivation Station. Huh.
So.
Yes.
Threesomes.
I want to talk about threesomes.
Actual threesomes.
Ones that don't suck.
And that was the whole reason why I actually thought of this, you know, idea of having you come on, because I came into your live and you were talking about how to have a threesome.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so interesting because you were doing it in a way that wasn't sensationalized.
Okay.
That it was like, this is how it really would work in real life. And I kind of want to start, you know, bring that discussion here. So if somebody is in a relationship and they want to have a threesome, what does that conversation look like?
Yeah.
We'll start there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the conversation is, let's say that you already are kind of both on the same page about having a threesome, just for the ease of this.
Yeah.
Because we kind of talked about before, if you're wanting an open thing, it's a whole different kind of conversation. But if, let's say, threesome's kind of been on the table, you're both dancing around it, it's like, all right, we're open to this, and now you're ready to do it. So a couple of things. Talk about what type of person you would like to have a threesome with.
Yeah.
Is it somebody you're comfortable with? A lot of people actually have great threesomes with a friend. Like, some people, friends are totally off limits. Talk about that. Is it somebody you kind of know, like an acquaintance? Those have honestly been the best for me, is like somebody not directly in my circle, but that I've met, connected with, and it's like, oh, they have great energy. Like, this would be kind of fun.
Yeah, that sexual chemistry is not hidden. You know what I mean? When you meet those people, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's in there.
I see you.
It's in there. Talks about it in the book.
Yeah.
It talks about it in the book.
You may often want more than one woman.
Yeah. It talks about it in the book. We have this book.
The Way of the Superior Man.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. You should read it. It's amazing.
I need to read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So first talk about that.
Yeah.
And then what your ideal experience would be like. And then recognize it will not be like your ideal experience.
Yeah.
Like it.
Manage expectations.
Manage expectations.
Yeah.
During a threesome, things might get a little bit shaken up. They might be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I did a live with my friend John, and he's in more of like the BDSM space, but I think a lot of what he said really works well for any experience where you're bringing someone in to a relationship situation, and it's literally just talk about it beforehand.
Yeah.
Like, if you're out to dinner or having drinks with the person before you are told a threesome will occur, then... talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, what would you like to get out of this experience?
True.
Do you are you kind of bi? Like, are you down to eat pussy? Because if not, if the chicks don't want to hook up, then you'll know. Okay, cool. Then it's my job as the dude to kind of like be with both of them.
Yeah.
If your chick's bi or you're wanting to experience women, then that's going to just look different. So I think a lot of issues and missteps happen when expectations aren't managed or when they're never set.
Shay and I got approached. My wife and I got approached by, a guy approached me. He approached us, but then was like, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah.
And then when I was talking to him, I noticed his wife came up to Shay.
Oh.
But we had only, my wife and I had only known each other for 3 weeks.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
This is Hawaii.
I was going to say, this is Hawaii?
This is Hawaii.
Okay.
I got a famous Hawaii story
with
my wife. But anyways, ironically enough, my wife and I are waiting to have sex.
Yeah. Oh, actually, we're not even having sex.
Oh,
I was
like,
bro, I'm trying to get with my wife, let alone you right now.
Oh, my God.
Wait line, dog. But I remember, because we were separated from this. So I'm looking at Shay, and Shay's looking at me like, what the fuck's going on? Is he? Yes. Is she? Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, this is really happening. And I remember that.
Are we doing this? Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. No.
But it made me think of the directness you said. I had flashbacks.
Well, because if you're in an openish relationship,
just want to let you know, you want to fuck my wife?
Yeah. But a lot of people who are comfortable being open, that is how direct they are.
Yeah.
Because you don't want you don't really have time. Let me tell you something. If you're in Hawaii with your man. If I'm in Hawaii with my man and I'm wanting a threesome, I'm not going to try to dance around it wondering, like, no, I want to know. No. Like, are you, do you think we're hot? Do you want to fuck us? Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. Might only be there for 4 or 5 days.
Right.
And I would also say, if you are a couple wanting to have a threesome, I encourage you to actually try to have a foursome. Have sex with another couple, because I think it's a lot easier and there's less pressure.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of pressure on, if it's a threesome with one dude, two chicks, there's a lot of pressure on him because the societal expectation is like he's a dog for wanting to fuck two women.
Yeah.
And it's a nice balance in a two couple situation.
That makes sense.
It's good.
Yeah.
But, and it also brings up a lot, like, you know, it just brings up conversations after conversations, and I would allow yourself to have them. It's not a one conversation thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're having sex with other people, you talk about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so just get ready for that. It's not like, hey, do you want to have a threesome? Sure, let's fuck my friend Brittany. It doesn't work like that. Like, good luck.
Delivery. It's on the delivery.
You like it?
We like
good talk. See you out there. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Cool. And break.
I think, you know, that's amazing advice for one. And I didn't think of the foursome idea. I think that actually makes a lot of sense, you know, logically.
I like it. I think when I look back at my best experiences like that, it usually is with a couple.
Yeah.
And also it will have you question a lot about your masculinity, because one of the things that I meant to say earlier, and I'm glad I have the opportunity now, is a lot of dudes will think, oh, I am really comfortable with an open relationship. Like, I think I'm an open relationship person, except for then they don't want their chick to have sex with other dudes. Mm-hmm. So no, what you want is to be single. You want to be single, but also you don't want to let this amazing woman go. So that's a conversation that you can have. And then also, you know, if you're going to have sex with another couple, your wife's going to be with another dude.
Yeah,
your chick's going to be with another dude.
It's
like,
let's
talk about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's definitely not for the faint of heart. It's for somebody who's comfortable.
Not for everyone.
It's for someone that's very comfortable, very confident.
Yeah.
And also just like doesn't have like an ownership with the other person, or I don't want to say ownership, because there's a devotion that's there that people who don't participate in threesomes or outside couples that they have with each other, that is amazing, and I don't want to take that from them. But there's also a freedom that people who are in open relationships have that those type of relationships don't. So it's just interesting. To each his own. Find the relationship that works for you, and continue searching, because sometimes those relationship styles change as you get older.
They do.
I have another question too. So have you ever experienced someone coming to you and say, hey, I want to bring a threesome into my relationship, and then they have the threesome, so before the foursome, so we have the threesome, and then the man or woman is saying, I think I found something better in the person they brought into the relationship.
No.
I was going to say, I don't think that happens.
Sexually.
Yeah, I don't think that happens.
Okay. The answer on a big scale is no. Okay. So what I have seen happen, and this hasn't been as much in my coaching, but just like when you're in an open relationship, you kind of know other people who are in open relationships. Mm-hmm. Like you just, it's like a...
It's a vibe.
It's a community. It's a community of freaks that like to fuck. Yeah, so it's like it's like a thing. It's called the lifestyle. That's what a lot of people refer to it, the swinging vibe, the lifestyle. Okay. And so a lot of times people will transition from open relationships only to like polyamorous, which would mean that you sometimes people don't even do hierarchies. Like you wouldn't have a primary partner. You might have a couple of partners that are your primary. So relationship dynamics can change in that way, but I have never had friends or anybody that I know who has been in a solid ass, like soulful marriage relationship and then be like, yeah, I fucked this chick last weekend at the bar and like, I'm just gonna be with her.
Yeah.
Like,
she's the one. You know, what's interesting is that that fear is often in people who are in strictly monogamous relationships.
Right.
And I think that fear is because there is, you know...
Insecurity.
Well, not even insecurity. I wouldn't call it that, but it's like this taboo of like, you're experiencing someone else. What if I'm not on my job or I'm not on my thing? Yeah. But it goes back to the original point. It was like, if you are going to experience a threesome or be in an open relationship, that the unit that you have is so strong that going into it, the person that you're bringing into it cannot create the history that you and your wife have.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's your saying, old can't compete with new and new can't compete with old.
It's not the same thing.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it comes down to a choice. We always have a choice.
Yeah.
So
let's
say that something does come along and it's new and it's great and you're having like new relationship energy. Mm-hmm. I'm talking mostly about like being polyamorous right now, but even if in like a open relationship and you're like, fuck, this chick's kind of rocked me. Like I'm sort of in love with her. Like, I don't know what to do. At that point, you as a human being and as somebody who understands your own brain has a choice. Do you choose the history and the like relationship that you've had? And this stuff gets really deep. Like I wouldn't recommend this for somebody who's novice. Like I wouldn't say just like go into this and have this, but there are so many examples that I have off the top of my head of relationships that are polyamorous or open. One person did fall in love with someone else and they talk about it. Like you literally go through it with your person and it's like, okay, I'm heartbroken because I fell in love with Johnny. I'm married to Bob and fuck. Yeah. And then you and Bob talk about it and you work through it and it's a thing, you know? Yeah. So when you open yourself up, you do open yourself up.
Yeah.
That actually happened. My brother is in a polyamorous relationship.
This is the first time I'm hearing this.
Two fiancés.
This is the first time I'm hearing this, bro. Yeah.
This is cool.
Yeah, you got two fiancés.
First time anybody's hearing this.
Yeah. Shout out to you, bro.
Out of him.
I actually really want to have him on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I remember he's always been, so I think he started off as an open relationship. On an open marriage rather than that. I think it went to polyamory. I'm not exactly sure. But anyways, he's got two fiancés. It's the conversation right now with the Red Table Talk. And Willow is, I believe, subscribes to polyamory. Mm-hmm. And Jada is, you know, very open to talk about it. The grandmother's not. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's so much like an old school thing. I think she just genuinely is like, I just can't really do that. But the other thing is it made me... Like when my brother first told me that, this was like, oh man, 2008. I was like, what the hell? You know, like even the open relationship thing. I'm like, what? Like Midwest traditional monogamous brain JD was like, I can't even understand what the fuck you're saying. It sounds great, but nah, I can't get away with that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then now I really love that it's an open conversation. No pun intended. It's an open conversation that people are having.
Yeah.
On all different platforms.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who are probably like, oh, finally, like it's. It's more accepted. It's more welcoming.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, I'll get my brother on.
Yeah, no, you should. Cool. You should. I'll love that conversation.
People are even considering it a sexual orientation.
Yeah.
Like a lot, some of my friends who identify as polyamorous are like, no, it's as much a part of me as me being like straight.
Yeah.
I knew from a young age that my heart has the capacity to just love more, to be in love with more than one person.
Mm.
And so it's not a choice for them. They say like, it's not a choice. Mm. It's a must. It's like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother said that he said, Oh, I'm going to find the text. He said exactly that.
Wow.
Hey. Yeah, stand by. Hold on.
I love this.
Yeah, exactly what you said.
In the exclusive.
Sam out. I actually posted it in my story.
Man, I yeah. love this.
I didn't not like to blast him out, but we were talking about polyamory.
Look at this freak. And
he said, perfect. I had to be honest with myself about myself. Then I realized to even have a chance at a successful relationship, I had to extend that honesty to those I care about.
I relate to that.
He is like the way of the superior man, though. He, that dude's just,
another level. Another level.
Love that.
Of great.
No, I relate to that heavily. I say it often that if Shannon and I were to get a divorce, I would keep the same relationship style that we built because other styles didn't really work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just did an inhale because I have something to say.
Yeah,
oh, please, go ahead.
Because I'd like to respond to that. I think sometimes what people think is that being in an open relationship is kind of like a cure for cheating and for like dishonesty. But I know I've heard of and I know people who cheat in open relationships.
How?
Like
not being honest.
So not being honest about stuff, like their person will find it seems stupid, right? Like how could you possibly do this? But a lot of times what you have to address is when you're in an open relationship, it's the most honest, if it's ethical, it's the most honest you've ever been. Yeah. And so a lot of times people don't feel comfortable being that honest. So they'll still do shady shit.
That's
and
crazy.
So it's important to realize like, yo, even if you say like, I'm in an open relationship, this is cool. When you have those parameters with your person, when you like, you know what is in the confounds of your open relationship.
Yeah.
Every relationship is different, and so you can still be an asshole within that.
No, for me, it was just like I'm just naturally flirtatious. I'm just naturally, you know, drawn to that sexual tension and sexual energy. So, I got caught up a lot doing that and not being open about it and not being honest about it. So, I feel like when I got with Shan, because we were fuck buddies. We didn't come to each other and say, we're going to be in an open relationship. So I think that was what changed it. It was like we were already successful fuck buddies who told each other everything. We are already successfully being fuck buddies.
Yeah.
You know who I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
I know who you've been dealing with. Mm-hmm. And this is working because there was no ownership during the fuck buddy situation.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
That way, when we went into open, you know, when we went into like an official title, it was like nothing really changed other than the perception of the audience of whoever was watching us.
Sure.
And so, yeah, it's interesting. I don't think that open relationship was the cure to cheating, but it was the cure to my honesty.
It's beautiful.
So,
yeah.
It's well said, man.
Yeah. I get in trouble a lot, though.
But it...
I get in trouble a lot, though. Not with by Shan, but by people who watch us.
Really?
Because I'm honest with her a lot on camera,
right.
too. And so, they say that the honesty is... What did they say? Like, disrespect disguised as honest.
One thing that's important to realize is that anytime you step outside of like a societal expectation, there are going to be people who not only do not understand at all, like can't comprehend it, but that will also lament you. Like they will critique the shit out of you and tell you what you're doing and who you are. It's like, I just have to accept that. Like I do psychedelics. Like I am curious about that. I like to be naked outside. Like I'll go to I do weird shit. And so anytime you open yourself to that, it's like, okay, I recognize there's gonna be people who just say like, you're doing a bad thing. You're doing a shitty thing. Like what you're doing sucks. And all right, then it sucks.
The amount of Jesus DMs I get.
Right. Right. Like if you would just find us. Really? Join us.
Yeah. Nobody DMs me that stuff.
Yeah. You know, I don't get a lot of those either.
I get Jesus DMs.
Really?
Like Bible verses.
I've never.
Yeah.
Well, you do talk about the church a lot, though.
They think you can be saved.
Maybe because you look like Jesus.
They don't think we can.
He looks more like Jesus than I do.
He does.
I still don't get the. I don't get the Jesus.
But Jesus is an Auburn fan. But anyways, well, this is the last episode for JD.
I think you're scarred, bro.
I honestly,
Roman says something. I think from your last video, you're creeping into Los territory.
No way.
Yes, you are.
I appreciate that.
You're creeping into Los territory.
Los is the crowd favorite. He is the poster child. He's Jesus.
It's hilarious because he's so. Look at him.
Look at him.
Look at him.
Oh, look at him go. He's crawling now. Los, come in. You want a treat?
I mean, just look at him. That's fucking great.
You're doing so well, Lauren.
You're great. They're going to love you, too. Fucking hell.
This sun feels
nice. This is a great question, bro.
So I have a question.
I can't wait to hear
they
it.
They don't
know, so we're laughing.
We're laughing because I brought it up offline, and Mr. Content Creator made sure I asked it on camera. Okay.
What?
You. It ain't no offense, Los. It ain't damn straight, Los.
Obviously, he's talking about Jerry.
No offense,
Los. Oh, damn sure.
No offense.
Damn sure. Oh, now it's damn sure.
No offense. All right.
Wow.
All right. Mister, I barely know what we're talking about. This is your words. That's right. We're going to end
guys
all this.
Guys, don't tell me.
My cheeks are going to come off.
Bro,
it's
in the group chat.
It's not new. It's not like this is the first time hearing it.
I didn't say that today anyway. What are we talking about?
Okay.
I was here early prepared. Unlike some people.
Ask the question. We're on the edge of our seats.
Okay.
I'm falling off my stool.
Yeah, stop trying to dodge the
I'm deflecting.
The question. Yeah.
It's my old gaslighting days. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Question for you, Lauren.
Yes.
If someone is monogamous, traditional, whether it's by choice or by childhood upbringing, and they're starting to think twice about their choices, they're starting to think twice about what they've signed up for, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
A, have you seen that? And then B, what are some of the conversations like?
Yeah. That is a great question. And wink, I genuinely, wink. I really mean that. I mean that because.
It is a great question.
Because.
Shut the fuck up.
There truly is. No, there truly is a lot of fear around what if I change is essentially the question.
What if I change my mind? Yeah.
What if I change my mind? What if I change what I want? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, again, talk to yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
Because. You have a question for yourself. Once you start getting that thought, go with it a little bit and write down what you're questioning. Mm-hmm. Because it's okay to question.
Yeah, totally.
So there's that. And also, if you've decided in your head, I have to express this, I have to say something like this, and the result is that you do lose your partner. Let's say your partner says, I am 100% unwilling to do that.
Yeah.
I am 100% not about that.
Mm-hmm.
They might shame you a little bit. I've seen it, mm-hmm. right? Like I've seen that. You then at least can take a step back and recognize that you are honoring your truth.
Mm.
And sometimes honoring your truth doesn't end in the same matrimony that it began with. Like that, and that's the truth. So my question back to you is, are you willing to live out of alignment?
Mm.
Like, I know it's a hard question, but I'm kind of pro breakup in certain situations. Like if you, and I love relationships. I love love. I think it's so beautiful, but also we have one life. So if you are like, man, I'm super inquisitive and I'm wanting to do this, because what I've seen is that when you're sexually open and you kind of do things that are out of the ordinary sexually, a lot of times you do things that are out of the ordinary in other ways too. Yeah. Like you may travel to a weird place or try something new or like do mushrooms and Molly at the same, like it opens your mind a little bit. So
You're prime for an open relationship, bro.
The way you're describing it reminds me of a guy I know. Oh, he happens to be here.
Yeah, so this is fantastic for us. Okay, so not to be on my soapbox for too long, but
please.
I think it's a conversation that you need to have with you. And if you're with a partner that you can grow with for the rest of your life and you have this conversation, it might actually be a relief for the person, but it might also result in...
The end.
Yeah. And I always like to flip it. I always like to flip it like, okay, what is the alternative to that? Is like,
right.
Would you feel comfortable knowing that you're limiting somebody or locking them right. into a relationship that they don't want to necessarily yeah. be in, or a relationship yeah. style, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, that can't feel good, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. That can't yeah. feel great. Is that if whether or even the flip side of that, of like, you know, your partner wants to be monogamous and she's trying to mm-hmm. be open for you because she wants to love
right.
you.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and that
right.
can't feel good. Like yeah. the beauty of openness is that mm-hmm. she's free and, yeah. and she's excited about being free.
Yeah.
Rather than like, oh man, I don't want to lose JD and
yeah.
Oh, I'm just going to try it, you know? Yeah.
Well, it's not sustainable, though. Either. Yeah. You can only act for so long, you know, yeah. to the point of I'm trying this for him or I'm trying this for right. her. But deep down to the core of yeah. everything I believe in, what I subscribe to is just I know this isn't going to last. But mm-hmm. for now, let's put a Band-Aid
over
it. Or
not trying it. You know, like she's like Lauren's saying, like mm-hmm. not living your truth and instead suppressing yeah. that feeling and just, you know, yeah. swallowing it and then just
well, you're
being
both
miserable
not living your
instead.
Truth then. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know what I mean? I think that it's actually unethical sometimes to not speak your truth. Yeah. If you're wanting something really badly and you're showing up in a different way and you're not voicing that to your partner, yeah. I think that's unethical for your partner because yeah. they don't yeah. know yeah. that truly what you're desiring on the inside mm-hmm. is something different than what they can provide.
Right.
They don't even have the chance to provide it because you're not giving letting them know. Maybe, yeah. maybe they're like, oh, that sounds kind of interesting. I've thought about that too.
Yeah.
And you're like, really?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
my God. Yeah. That's fantastic.
And then you guys become more connected.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Have y'all ever, okay, you know the song, Do You Like Pina Colada? Do you like Pina
yeah.
Colada?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
have
yeah.
you listened to the song? Like actually listen to the lyrics, or is it just like a
I
Bahamas?
I just know that one line.
Yeah.
Okay, so that
getting
song,
caught in the rain.
Caught in the rain.
This
yeah,
is a
no,
special
that's
song, all I know. And it changed my life. When okay. I listened to the lyrics, I was crying in my Prius.
Hey, wow.
I cried because it's a beautiful song. Basically, what he's saying is he's unhappy in his marriage or in his partnership. He puts out a dating ad back in the day, like in the newspaper,
yeah.
and
oh, wow.
the dating ad is. Do you like pina coladas? Get lost in the rain. Do you like sunshine? Whatever, champagne, whatever the shit is. And he gets a response from a woman. And he's like, oh my gosh, this is so fantastic. So they go and they make plans to meet up. And when they meet up, it's his wife.
I've never actually
Whoa.
Listened to those lyrics with intention.
It's his wife.
It's always, yeah.
Right? Holy it gives me goosebumps. It made me cry.
Shit.
Yeah. And so he had no idea that his wife loved these things, right? And so she's looking for an ad too, like, man, and they come
wow.
together. Because I have goosebumps on my face.
That's
I can feel them.
Wow.
Because I love that.
Wow.
It's
That's
a
beautiful.
Great lesson. And
yeah.
you'll listen to the song differently now.
Oh, yeah. Is
yeah.
it Jimmy
now
Buffett?
Everybody's about to
yeah.
go listen to that
go
song.
Go listen to the song.
I have no idea.
Getting caught in the rain.
Smash it.
Yeah. Wow. So anyway.
This last...
Yeah. Dang.
Beautiful.
Drop the bomb on us.
Shit.
Like that.
Peace. She was out.
Yeah.
Lauren.
You didn't learn anything today.
Yeah.
You learned something.
That. Yeah. Listen to that song.
This last piece, we'll keep it short because this is a great episode.
Yeah.
I want to talk about faking orgasms. Mm.
Oh,
not living your truth.
Not living in your truth.
I feel that.
What do you feel, Jared?
Have y'all ever faked one?
I have faked one.
I have.
Yes,
okay.
I have faked one, yeah.
Huh, yeah, think about that.
I have. I faked my first one.
You faked your first orgasm. Wow, your first one.
Well, my first time having sex. Not my first orgasm, but my first time having sex, I faked it.
Bam.
And it was mainly because I was embarrassed and didn't want to embarrass her because I wasn't gonna finish, and so I was just like, I'm just gonna fake it, just to save that awkward conversation. And I feel that, you know, us being men, we've probably got countless fake orgasms in our time.
Oh yeah,
that we
Not
have
me,
no
bro.
Idea.
Never, bro. Never.
because the stat
Never
doesn't make any
it.
Sense. Like I remember,
I fucked her so hard.
So deep.
Nailed her, bro. Nailing.
The stat didn't make any sense to me because like I was having sex a lot, and then like I forget what the exact stat was, but like the woman orgasm was like she only orgasms like. I can't remember. It was like very little. Yeah. You know it?
99.
I don't know it off the top of my head, but it's like almost every woman has faked an orgasm. Yes. Like almost 100% of women.
Yes.
Sure.
It was an orgasm. I mean, it was like women don't have their first orgasm until they were like 28 mm-hmm. or something like that. And I was like 21 at the time, and I was like, every girl I've had sex with had an orgasm. This doesn't make any sense.
I'm responsible for at least 13,000. Yeah.
But then I had like a second to be like, wait a minute, they were faking. Mm.
They were faking it.
So I just want to talk about those. Like, have you ever faked an orgasm in during sex?
I faked orgasms for 5 years.
Wow.
My first 5 years of having sex, I faked orgasms, and I had a lot of sex young. Like, I was into sex.
Yeah.
And wow. I just didn't know how to have one. Like, I had seen porn, and I was super embarrassed about masturbating. Like, I didn't do that ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't masturbate till college.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, because it's just interesting how different things happen like that. Like, my sister and I grew up in the same household. She's like, dude, I was humping my pillow when I was like 12. I'm like, what? I didn't have my first orgasm until I was like, you know, literally 20 in my dorm. Like, no, I was 19. I was in my dorm room. I'll never forget my first orgasm. Yeah. I was like, holy shit.
This is what I've been missing.
Yeah, you're like, I'm coming. Shit, I'm actually coming. This is happening.
Yeah, like in my dorm bed, like one of those extra long, twins.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I faked them for a long time, and so many women do.
Mm.
Because we are not taught how to have an orgasm. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about female pleasure. Like, you don't learn about it in school. Like, mm-hmm. I learned that boys jack off constantly, and that's it. Like, and it was kind of like embarrassing for them. Like, they get caught by their moms, and it's embarrassing, and nobody talks about it. And chicks, what is your, we don't even know what you have down there. Like, you basically just have babies.
Yeah.
And don't, by the way. Sounds don't have babies, right. But you do, and you will later, and don't. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay.
Mm, sounds good.
Good talk. See you out there.
Anyway, so then you see porn, right? You see porn, and it's like these chicks getting raw dogged in these positions where they're literally like, their clit isn't being touched.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything. They're perfectly groomed and pink, and like there's nothing going on. They have anal sex. They never shit on anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, unless they want, I don't know, unless it's that kind of porn.
Shit on your face.
Shit on your face? But,
think about Odell.
Full circle.
Yeah, so women are not, it's not that we're liars. It's that there's an enormous expectation from boys, too, that chicks just like to be fucked and then they come. Like, people don't tell boys, yo, there's a clitoris. Ask her how she touches it.
Mm.
Like, ask her if she can even have a vaginal orgasm. Like, what are you expecting? Because we think, okay, we're supposed to be, think about what women are told. Okay, we're supposed to look a certain way. We're not supposed to have belly rolls. Like, we shouldn't jiggle. We're supposed to make these, like, girly moaning noises.
Mm.
When I come, it's, like, deep.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, my God. It's like,
oh,
sounds
man.
Like a good time.
Everyone folding laundry right now is like, oh my God. Everyone at the gym is dying laughing with their AirPods.
Like a good time. Yeah. You know?
But I mean, okay, it's, you know what I mean though? It's like, it's more primal. Like when a woman's coming, it's a prime, it's like a whole thing. So it's vulnerable to get there. I felt super vulnerable. I didn't know what my face was supposed to do. Yeah. Mm. And so many chicks have this issue. Mm. I wrote a whole blog post about it, like 10 reasons women fake orgasms. Because it's like, okay, if you've been in a long marriage and you hate your husband, it's probably to get it over with. Like, for you, I accept it. You can fake it if you want.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people don't know how.
Yeah.
They don't know how to tell their partner. They want the man to feel like he knows what to do.
Yeah.
A lot of times we'll be like, oh, well, if I say something, it's like tarnishing his masculinity because he should know how to make me come.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
So there's so much at play. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't know shit.
Well, and you have to let go.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, in the comfortability factor, like, has to be there too. I had a whole conversation one time. I remember I was like 22, 23 dating this girl, and I was like, how'd I do? You know what I'm saying? Right after,
because
I thought she came, but I wasn't sure. She sounded like she did, but whatever the sounds are, it wasn't the yeah. But, you know, I was just like doing my checking. I think we talked about this before in an episode.
Yeah.
What happens after sex? Yeah, I listen.
And you kind of ask about, right? So, and she was like, I didn't have an orgasm. And I was like, fuck. God damn, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, I'm having the conversation.
Ready to go to the gym.
But no, she said, I'm just not there with you yet.
And so it kind of changed the script. And I was like, oh.
What do you mean? We just had sex. You know, this is 22.
Yeah, we're there.
We were there. We can go again.
We were in it.
Yeah. I thought we were.
Like, I was I was there.
I was there. Yeah, exactly. I was present.
Yeah, I was for sure was there. Present.
But yeah, and she obviously broke it down. But she's like, I just, there's a level of comfortability and a level of like, let go that I have to get to. And it's, you know, it's just not there yet.
Trust thing.
And
yeah.
I was like, whoa.
So one of the best ways to combat a faking it situation from a dude's perspective is just like ask her to show you what she likes.
Yeah.
How do you masturbate?
Mm-hmm.
They'll know.
Oh, yeah.
And if they don't, say, let's find out.
Right.
The hottest thing a dude can say is, let's find out.
Yeah.
Let's explore your body. Because remember, holistic pleasure center. Like, let's figure it out. Some chicks can come from their nipples. Some chicks come from like dirty, like there's all different ways.
Yeah. And there's like a, and I find that they might know, but they're almost embarrassed to talk about it in that moment.
It makes you a sexual being. Yeah.
And it makes you, it goes back to that sexual liberation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I find that what has helped me in my past was the language in which I'm talking to her, because I know if I go to her and I say, what do you like?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if I go, if I start doing something, I'm like, do you like pressure here?
Yeah.
Do you like me to orb around here?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to do, you know, mix?
A push-up.
Yeah.
Right here.
Hey.
But, you know,
what do you need?
Certain type of language of like, do you, you know, I find that there's a lot of different ways while how women would get off.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's certain language that needs to be taught to men on how to be that tourist. Because I find that I'd be like, all right, I learned how to be a tourist. And they go into it and be like, what do you like?
Yeah.
And it's just not sexy. It's not a turn on to them. And they don't really know how to, you know, even describe that, because the sexual being of a woman has been so pushed down. And so like, I don't want to tell you that I know what I want, because I don't want you to think I'm a hoe, or I don't want you to think I'm like some crazy being. And so I find that just inviting them by just asking very direct questions helps a lot.
Now, you'd be surprised what people are into or are willing to do. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of things that we think is taboo and risky, like when you actually voice it out, people are not that, you know, turned off by a lot of times.
True.
I've had things asked to me before that I was like, yeah, sure, that's not.
Yeah.
And they were terrified, but they were terrified to ask me.
Just contradicted himself in the middle.
No, they weren't terrified. But no, they didn't want to ask, you know.
They
were like, you know, and I was like, no, that's fine. Like, I'm not, that's not an issue. So, yeah, just ask. You never know.
Well, yeah,
don't get fed.
Especially guys.
That's what I mean. Especially guys. That's like, guys, I don't know. Y'all are crazy. Don't ask women everything. Like, but no, seriously, like, just ask. You never know, man. Closed mouths don't get fed.
Yeah.
Most people are more willing to try some things out than we give folks credit for.
I have a t-shirt that says
Manscaped.
Not this t-shirt, but I have another t-shirt that says no fake orgasms. Because I feel like that's part of the problem. Men need to know where they're actually at.
Yes.
We preach it all the time, not about specifically to men, but like, we have, there's so many people in the world that are delusional. And men are very delusional when it comes to sex. So all women need to come together and say no more fake orgasms, because it's not helping anybody. It's feeding the man's ego, but you're not helping yourself, because we need to know.
You're not helping yourself, and you're not helping the chick after you.
Yeah.
Because then because then he thinks, oh yeah, this worked for her.
Exactly.
Worked for her. I didn't have to talk to her about it. She came so easy. I hit from the back for 2 minutes and she was coming. So now I'm going to do it to you too. And it's like a cycle of bad sex. And so, yes, that, and also even deeper than that, even deeper than we're not faking orgasms, is own your hoe self.
Yeah.
H-E-A-U-X. H-E-A-U-X. Like, own it.
Yeah.
Because if we stop shaming ourselves for knowing what we like sexually, then the problem doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
There are no fake orgasms when you're just like, I know exactly what the fuck I like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
right.
I'm a hoe with myself. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to touch myself.
I got it.
Spectator sport. Yeah, but it's like owning that and recognizing, it comes back to the whole thing of like your body's made for pleasure.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with you if you get freaky with yourself or with other people. Like owning that helps to eliminate the fake orgasm thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I realized, because once I admitted I was faking orgasms and then I learned how to have real ones, I still faked it sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, man, he's trying so hard. Like for us, it's like, he really wants me to come. He asked me if I was going to come. I said I'm going to come. And now I'm just like still moaning. And
not,
like,
yeah.
Not
there.
Not coming yet.
I will tell you, as a dude, I can tell. Because the contractions cannot be mimicked.
Right. It's yeah.
And I think most men don't know that.
Yeah.
So if a girl fakes it, I'm like,
I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't mimic those contractions because right. they're like they do it in a way.
They
do it in a way.
I didn't feel any squeeze.
You didn't stop breathing.
Well, this episode
Man.
Has been amazing. Can you tell them where they can find
Please.
You?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Find me on. I'm really grateful that all my platforms are SheWolfLauren.
Hey, SheWolfLauren.
All of them. So my blog, SheWolfLauren.com. Book a private with me, SheWolfLauren.com.
Hey.
SheWolfLauren's my Instagram.
Hey.
She with Florence tatted on my ass. Hey. It's not what it should be.
I like tap my name
on the future.
So I know it's real.
Well, yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Like, subscribe, share.
There you go.
There you go.
See? See? Wait. Really quick. Oh. This was, no offense to all the guests we've had on, this is my favorite episode.
Oh!
By far. Wow. And I know that because I still have more questions. We're just out of time.
Maybe it needs to be a part two.
There are contractions happening right now. This is not a fake orgasm.
Maybe it needs to be a part two.
Let's do it.
Hey, I'm in.
What do you guys think?
I just had a great time.
That was dope.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, thank you for watching that video. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and comment. Don't be shy. Also, if you want to catch the episodes early, we drop the audio on Mondays everywhere where podcasts are available. So check us out. Look for the link in the bio. And don't forget to leave an Apple review. 5 stars now. You know we love that.